At the Cattle Industry Summer Conference, I'm visiting with one of our presenters, Jude Kapper. And Jude, you were talking about common, often heard myths about beef. Tell us what some of those are and why they're a myth.
Absolutely. So we have a perception out there that modern ag is killing the planet. For example, cattle cause global warming. If we went meatless every Monday, we could save the planet and still drive our Hummer. Well, if we use meatless Mondays, for example, as a contribution to our national carbon footprint, meat only contributes 2.1%. So the other 97.9% comes from everything else we do. The perception is if we all went meatless, all 313 million people in the States, we could save the planet. But actually, if we did that every Monday for a whole year, we'd cut our national carbon footprint by less than 1/3 of 1%. So it really isn't that big a deal, but people really think it is. Hormones in beef, for example, there are so many conversations about, well, I don't feed my kids beef and dairy now because kids are growing bigger, they're developing faster, and it's because of the hormones used in the beef and dairy industry. And it is true that beef from an implanted steer has more estrogen in it than beef from a non-implanted steer. But the quantities are still really, 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 really tiny. If we put that into context with the birth control pill that's taken by 100 million people every single, well, females every single day, globally, each one of those tiny little pills contains 35,000 nanograms of estrogen. So to get the amount of estrogen from beef, as you do from one tiny little pill, each female would have to eat more than 2,000 pounds of beef per day to get the same amount of hormones.
Well, that's putting it in perspective.
Absolutely. If we have no context, then we have no way to assess if these numbers are big or small. Equally, if we look at grass-fed compared to corn-fed beef, for example, the supposition is feedlots are bad, you know, we could do away with them, we could make all of our beef grass-fed. And it is a great system. But if we want to make the 27 billion pounds of beef that we make every year in the States from a grass-fed system, we're going to need more than 65 million more cattle in the national herd. We're going to need a extra area of land more than 75% of the land area of Texas, so a huge amount more land. We're going to need water equivalent to adding 53 million households to the States. And the carbon emissions extra to make the same amount of beef would be like adding 27 million cars to the road every year. So a huge impact, huge.
Well, it is. And, you know, the sad part is that, let's take the numbers for something like the hormones. Somebody hears a number and they just sort of assume it has to be bad because probably that's the context in which it was used, depending on what that person's I don't know what you call it, what they're trying to accomplish. Might be a certain position on something, or maybe it's a political motivation. So I guess you just can't emphasize enough to people how important it is to, you know, do their research. Just because you hear it and it sounds bad, before you really change your whole family's diet, you might want to look into it first.
Well, that's absolutely right. And unfortunately, we can find a paper that will say almost anything. It'll back up position A or position B or position C or all of the above or none of the above, you know? But that's precisely the problem. As people, we're inclined to believe things that back up our intrinsic beliefs. So with hormones, everything we eat, whether it's an apple or a cheeseburger or an ice cream, it all contains hormones. The only things that don't are salt and sugar. But still, people go, well, farmers give hormones to their animals, and then I eat that meat or that dairy. That's got to be bad for me. Hormones cause issues. And that fear factor is just huge in the population. Whether it's hormones, whether it's antibiotics, whether it's GMOs, you know, grass-fed beef, corn-fed beef, people are so afraid. And ultimately, I think they just want to be reassured that the choices that they make are sensible and the food they buy is safe and affordable and wholesome. And then, you know, everyone feels good. But we've got a big challenge to get those messages out to everybody.
Of course, salt and sugar are bad for you too, according to some people, right? I heard it said recently, people just need to not be afraid. There are people trying to spread fear, and just because you want to have a hamburger from McDonald's, it doesn't mean you're going to shorten your lifespan by 15 years or just keel over dead. There are common sense ways to do everything, including your own lifestyle, but to be afraid is just seems counterproductive.
That's exactly it. And it's all about relative risk. I have good friends who I obviously won't name who will buy organic this, you know, and local this and gluten-free this and whatever this, and then drink a bottle of wine and drive because they feel like they're safe enough to drive and they're a good driver and they're not that drunk, so, you know. But with other things, they are paranoid over eating a gummy bear because there's corn syrup in it, you know. It's all about relative risk, and as a population I just don't think we understand those risks anymore.
So for I know you were talking to, with an American National Cattlewoman's part of the program here, talk about the kind of interaction you had, questions, how do did they kind of wonder how do we get that message out, and you might have some thoughts on that.
It was a really great session, and my main aim in life, I guess, is to give cattle men and cattle women those facts and figures. So when they have those questions from friends or family or people at church or school or whatever about isn't beef bad for you or should we be eating it, should we do this, that they'll have those facts and figures to back up their conversations. And it was both interesting and kind of alarming, I guess, that everybody heard the same questions from their friends or family. So they're concerned about hormones, they're concerned about GMOs, they're concerned about animal welfare, they're concerned about antibiotics. Those seem to be the main four, even though ultimately as a consumer we still buy on price, taste and nutrition, but we are concerned about all these external factors. And if we know a farmer or a rancher, then we're likely to ask them and put them on the spot. So the aim is to give them those facts and figures so they can say, well, actually, here's the facts, this is why we're doing a good job, or this is the reason that we use this practice or use this technology.
Great. Well, it's good information. Glad you had the opportunity, and wish I could have been there. But that's why I'm glad we were able to catch up here, Jude. So it's great to see you again, as always. We've been visiting here at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.